Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Hear these words from Psalm 139. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written that was being formed for me before any one of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Over the weekend, I received an Amazon shipment that I'd been waiting for. It had a new phone case. Now, you all know I'm a technical person, but I also try to work towards efficiency. I decided, you know, I've been carrying my phone in a fairly thin case, and separately, I've had a wallet. You know, there are a lot of people who have a combination phone case and wallet, and so I decided I wanted to give it a try, and it's really wonderfully clever. The wallet section attaches magnetically, and the reason that's important to me is I can take it off, and I have a magnetic mount in my car. So I can mount it in the car, and I plug it in. I listen to the music that I have on here. And then, you know, it has a little bit of space for my ID, any payment cards that I use. It's wonderfully creative. Now, I'm an Apple person. I have an iPhone. For our Android friends, that, you know, fine. I don't need to disagree with you. I just have a different preference. We don't need to get into the blue bubble and green bubble conversations. That's not important right now. Apple is having their annual Worldwide Developers Conference in about a week. And the very first day of that Worldwide Developers Conference, they always the CEO always has a keynote, and he talks about the next incredible ways that Apple is leaning into technology and creating new opportunities for us to buy their stuff. And this year's Worldwide Developers Conference, they're going to talk about the next iPhone and iPad and Mac operating systems. And there's a lot of conversation about integration of AI, artificial intelligence. And there's a lot of buzz about, you know, some of the new things that our devices will be able to do. And because Apple is, you know, someone who markets in this particular way, they're going to have a strong leaning into, you know, privacy and things like that. It'll be really interesting. I'm a technical nerd, and so I'm very interested in how that's going to go. But one of the things that occurs to me, both related to that operating system, but just related to this, you know, this new case, how wonderfully creative. How wonderfully creative for someone to think about, well, maybe we can use magnets to make this thing stick together and, you know, build this sort of leather-ish kind of thing with whatever technology is necessary to help, you know, keep things safe and keep it protected from some of the near-field communications readers and things like that, but also make it easy and portable, and you can put all your stuff in one pocket. I have a different illustration. I don't often bring my coffee into church. I'm not really much of a coffee person. This morning, I just didn't sleep a whole lot last night, and so this morning I needed the bigger cup for the coffee. Now, I'm still growing in my coffee drinking, and so about half of this was coffee, and the other half was a flavored milk, because it's my latte. It's my vanilla latte. And I was thinking this morning about, I don't know who figured out that you take the beans from a plant and you dry them out and you roast them and then you grind them up and then you run water through them and you get this wonderful flavor, but you also get this energy from the caffeine. Right? That's super creative, isn't it? I know that there are people out here who are much more into coffee than I am. I received a Christmas gift from the Buteras a couple of years ago, this wonderful, wonderful coffee. It was delicious. I think you all are more coffee people than I am, which is okay. We can have those conversations. But what wonderful creativity that people continue to learn about how to do different flavors in coffees and different ways to make coffee. Theologian Rob Bell talked in a book called Love Wins about the Genesis story in creation. And he talked about God's sense of creation didn't stop. God created the world to continue creating. And scientists might sort of look at that through the stories of evolution. But that's not really an idea that's unique to Rob Bell. If you look at one of our ancient theologians, well, not ancient, I mean, he's not that old, but John Calvin wrote this. He wrote, "To make God a momentary creator who once for all finished his work would be cold and barren. And we must differ from profane men, especially in that we see the presence of divine power shining as much in the continuing state of the universe as its inception." Calvin writes about the reality of God's ongoing creativity. I found this quote in a paper that I wrote my first year in seminary. The paper is called, I have to look at it because I'll get it wrong if I don't look at it. The paper is called, "I Believe, a Smorgasbord of Theology." And the instruction from this theology class was to write a credo. Credo is Latin for "I believe." And it may sound familiar to you as a creed. Indeed, a couple of years ago, we together explored the Apostles' Creed that starts with what? "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." Calvin helps us see that creation was not a singular act, but indeed God's creativity is ongoing. But not only, in my mind, is God's creation ongoing, but God invites us, we who are created in God's image, to continue to embody that creation. And we might see that way of humans continuing to embody that creativity in creation through wonderful things like coffees and technologies, but also in incredible music, in paraments and decorations, in bringing gifts to bear in this community of faith. But another thing that I would suggest about our understanding of God, really that's what this entire sermon series is. I mentioned it earlier, this idea of exploring our doctrine of God, our theologies of God, is I believe that God creates us to be in community, to be in relationship with one another and with God. There's an ancient Latin saying about God creating the universe out of nothing. The Latin phrase is creatio ex nihilo. I like another phrase, and I'm not trying to denigrate that phrase. I believe that God created the universe simply out of force of will. God spoke and called the universe into being. God said, "Let there be light." But I also believe that God created out of love. Creatio ex amore. I believe that God created the universe out of love, but I also believe that in creating humanity in God's image, God created us to be in relationship and to be in love. One of the ways that I've heard God spoken about is that God created humanity so that we might be compelled to love God. And that doesn't fit with my relationship with God, with my understanding of God. Instead, I think of a God who created humanity and invited us, called us, implored us to love God, and gave us the choice. As we think about God and God's creation, as we think about who God is, we often talk about God through words that begin with omni, omnipresent, omnipowerful, omniscient. The ancient theologian Anselm argues that it is obvious that whatever good thing the supreme nature is, it is in the highest degree. And how I hear what Anselm writes is that God is not simply good, but supreme goodness itself. God is not just, but supreme justness itself. Anselm continues, supreme immortality, supreme incorruptibility, supreme blessedness, supreme eternity, supreme power, supreme unity, which is nothing else than supremely being, supremely living. But when we put that together with the idea that we are created in and out of love, when we put that together with the idea that we are created to be in connection and relationship with one another and with God, we might think of God in some process theology terms as God being both transcendent and immanent. Transcendent being the idea that God is outside of all the things that God created, that God is self-sufficient, separate from the world, even from the universe, and is intentionally present in the world from beyond. Paradoxically, in process theology, God is also immanent, present, and active in the world and in the universe. But Marjorie Suhaki, in her book, What is Process Theology, suggests that the presence of God means little without God's relationship with the world. She writes, to be related to something is to be internally affected by that something and to affect something else in return. She talks about God's primordial and consequent natures, saying God's primordial nature is the conceptual vision of all possibilities whatsoever, and the consequent nature of God is God's feeling of every occasion that ever existed. So as we imagine a God who is ultimately good, ultimately present, ultimately love, We might also imagine that God's relationship with this world and with us individuals is unique, changing, and dynamic. And borrowing that classical argument from Anselm, that God is supreme relationship, and indeed is the essence of relationship itself. I suggest that in many ways we know this. We have been forced to experience this, as just a few short years ago, we were told that we could not be in connection, in relationship, in proximity to one another as a global pandemic shook the world. And I wonder if something that we have learned is that we must be in relationship. And yes, we learn new ways of creation and technology. We learn ways to be in some sense of relationship through cameras and screens, but I know, at least for me, that while that was helpful, it simply wasn't enough. And we together here at La Jolla United Methodist Church, we longed for that time that we could stop worshiping only through cameras and screens. It could come and be in connection and community. But I also suggest this, and it gives me a sense of hope. I continue to read polls and surveys suggesting that there are fewer and fewer people who consider themselves Christians or religious. The entire world learned that we must be in relationship, and it's my assertion that the church is uniquely suited to offer community and connection and relationship and meaning. My friends, our God is the creative creator, inspiring us to create new ways of being and being in relationship. Let us respond in our creativity, our community, and our connection. Let us find new ways to do this good thing. Amen.